evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program, very remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, July 23rd, 2021. A U.S. diplomat in South Sudan calls on the Transitional Government of National Unity to allow freedom of speech in South Sudan.
The constitution-making process must be open and inclusive and must incorporate the voices of South Sudanese citizens.
And health officials in Sudan's Red Sea state say COVID-19 cases continue to climb up.
Infection rate has been very high in recent days, and we still believe that there are a lot of positive cases that are not reaching the hospital.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir, who is also the chairman of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement Party, has selected Nunu Jema Kumba as the speaker of the revitalized Transitional National Legislative Assembly. Mr. Kiir also selected Mary Ayen Majok as the deputy speaker of the Council of States. South Sudan in Focus will continue to update you on this development. Troika countries are calling for an inclusive constitution-making process in South Sudan. The United States, the United Kingdom, and Norway made the call in a statement issued Friday following an incident last week where some members of the National Security forced civil society activists to cancel a panel discussion on the history of constitution-making in South Sudan. An official at the U.S. Embassy in Juba says a constitution created without an input from citizens will lack popular legitimacy. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
The Troika countries say they are concerned that the government is suppressing voices of citizens in the ongoing permanent constitution-making process as required by the revitalized peace agreement. Reading from a prepared text, Phil Dimon, the public affairs officer at the U.S. Embassy in Juba, said, for peace to take hold, South Sudanese must be able to speak freely.
The constitution-making process must be open and inclusive and must incorporate the voices of South Sudanese citizens, whether through the formal process or through the exercise of the freedom of speech and assembly. We take note of the agreement by the transitional government parties during the May 25 to 28 workshop on the permanent constitution-making process on the need for an inclusive and participative process.
Last week, civil society activist Wani Michael, executive director of the OK Africa Foundation, initiated a public forum dubbed Know Your Laws. The public forum was supposed to host experts on legal matters aimed at educating the public about the country's laws, with particular emphasis on the ongoing work of the permanent constitution-making process. But shortly before the event was to get underway, Michael, its host, released a statement saying, quote, "Sorry guys, the event is officially cancelled by officers from the National Security Service. They gave us the reason that we are not allowed to discuss the constitution because there is no constitution passed yet and no functioning parliament," end of quote. John Kumuri, spokesperson for the National Security Service, tells South Sudan in Focus he has no knowledge of a National Security Service officers cancelling a civic engagement activity on a constitution hearing last week.
Not aware, but I'll try to find out. And I want to say that the National Security does not have a policy of censoring civic activities, and that is the result. That might be the result of misunderstanding between the organizers and individuals of the National Security. But let me find out the problem. What is the problem?
President Salva Kiir officially launched work on the permanent constitution-making process in May during a workshop organized by the Revitalized Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, or RJMEC. At the time, Kiir called for an inclusive constitution process, saying, quote, "South Sudan nationalism must be supreme and cardinal in the permanent constitution of South Sudan," end of quote. The president said the workshop was formed to develop a roadmap for a permanent constitution and called, in his words, absolutely critical that it reflects the aspirations of our people for freedom, equality, justice and prosperity for all. Damon says troika countries want to see that kind of citizen engagement in the constitution-making process.
An inclusive constitution-making process is a central part of this agreement. A constitution that is created without input from the citizens will lack popular legitimacy.
The South Sudan Civil Society Forum, a coalition of civil society groups in the country, called the cancellation of the event a gross violation of the constitutional rights of citizens to freedom of expression, association and assembly, and a deliberate move to undermine citizens' participation in the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement. The forum urged the National Security Service to support citizens in their right to engage in peaceful and constructive activities rather than using negative energy to perpetuate violence, destruction, and social fragmentation. Damon says the Troika is urging the government to encourage its citizens to participate in the constitution-making process, saying that is a central theme of the revitalized peace agreement.
We call on the government to ensure the rights of freedom of assembly and expression as guaranteed by the transitional constitution. We have expressed our concerns about this incident directly to the government and will continue to do so.
Article 6 of the peace agreement states that the process of a permanent constitution making shall be led and owned by the people of South Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Sudan, where health authorities in Sudan's Red Sea state say the town of Port Sudan has seen an increase in cases of COVID-19 in recent days. Health officials say for the past 1 week, they have recorded nearly 140 positive cases since the beginning of the second wave of coronavirus. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Dr. Zafaran Ahmed Azaki, Director General at the Red Sea State Ministry of Health, confirmed increase of positive cases of COVID-19 among locals in Port Sudan town in recent days. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus via phone from Port Sudan town, Dr. Azaki says state health facilities have no capacity to determine if the new infection is in fact the Delta variant.
Infection rate has been very high in recent days, and we still believe that there are a lot of positive cases that are not reaching the hospital. Suspected cases have increased, and 90% of them are found positive and automatically. Cases of deaths also have increased.
The health ministry officials say last week, medical workers collected 170 suspected cases, out of which 137 tested positive.
Death cases within this third wave have increased drastically. But when you look at the time frame of 2 months, it has reached to 60, and this is our worry.
Dr. Azaki says the Red Sea State Health Ministry has been unable to determine the existence of the deadly Delta variant. She says her team has sent some samples for testing to South Africa. Dr. Azaki says the results should be out within the next few days.
We have already agreed to send all positive cases to South Africa so that the National Ministry of Health can confirm if the new infection is from the Indian strain or not. But according to the symptoms, this strain spread faster and its transition period is also quick.
Authorities in Red Sea State ordered a partial lockdown in the town for a 2-week period, which ended today. Due to the recent increase in the number of positive cases, Dr. Azaki says health officials have recommended the partial lockdown should be extended for another 2 weeks. She called on citizens celebrating Eid of Al-Adha holiday to follow all health directives and protocols, including mask wearing, social distancing, avoiding all public gatherings, and frequent hand washing. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Still on COVID, China has rejected a World Health Organization plan for a second phase of an investigation into the origin of the coronavirus, which includes hypotheses it could have escaped from a Chinese laboratory. Reuters' Flora Bradley Watson reports.
On Thursday, Vice Minister of the National Health Commission, Zhang Yisheng, told reporters he was taken aback when he read the details.
To be honest, when I first saw the WHO's second phase of an investigation into the origin of the coronavirus, I was very surprised, because in this plan, the hypothesis of China violation of laboratory procedures causing virus leakage is one of the research priorities. In this aspect, I feel the plan disregards common sense and defies science.
The origin of the virus remains contested among experts. The first known cases emerged in Wuhan in December 2019. The virus was believed to have jumped to humans from animals being sold for food at a city market. A joint report in March by a WHO-led team that spent 4 weeks in and around Wuhan with Chinese researchers backed up that thesis. It said the laboratory leak theory was extremely unlikely. But other countries, including the US and some scientists, have not been satisfied with that conclusion. In May, President Joe Biden said U.S. intelligence agencies were pursuing rival theories, potentially including the possibility of a laboratory accident in China. The lab in question is the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which have been conducting research on bats that carry coronavirus. One key part of the lab leak theory has centered on its decision to take offline its gene sequence and sample database in 2019. Zhang, along with other officials and Chinese experts at the news conference, urged WHO to expand origin tracing efforts beyond China to other countries. He accused the WHO of politicizing the study.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the World Health Organization is asking African countries to step up to the challenge in the fight against COVID-19.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your favorite meal?
I like chips and anything braai, whether chicken or beef.
My favorite meal is our fish, mainly jambo, and local vegetables like nkwani.
I love chapati. Like, I don't know why I love chapati, but I just love chapati. There's no reason for loving it. Like, chapati every day.
My favorite meal is jollof and rice with chicken. That will be best for me.
My favorite food, matoke, that is banana and beans. Banana and beans, yes.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The World Health Organization is urging African countries to ramp up preparations for COVID-19 vaccination rollouts in anticipation of the imminent arrival of millions of vaccine doses on the continent. World Health Organization reports more than 6.2 million people have been infected with COVID-19 and more than 159,000 have died. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
New cases of COVID-19 in Africa have fallen slightly following 8 weeks of a fast-moving surge. The decline is attributed to a sharp drop in cases in South Africa. However, the World Health Organization reports the situation could change quickly as violent protests and mass gatherings in the country could trigger another rise in cases. WHO Regional Director for Africa, Machidiso Moeti, says Africa's third wave is not over. She notes 21 countries, three more than last week, are experiencing a resurgence. She says the highly contagious Delta variant has now been detected in 26 countries, and 13 of them need more oxygen due to a surge in cases. She says Africa continues to lag in COVID-19 vaccines, with just 20 million Africans, or 1.5% of the continent's population, fully vaccinated. But she says Africa's supply crunch is starting to ease. She says the first delivery of doses donated by the United States through the COVAX facility is arriving in Africa this week. And altogether, nearly 60 million doses from other sources are expected in the coming weeks.
African countries must go all out and speed up their vaccine rollouts by 5 to 6 times if they are to get all these doses into arms and fully vaccinate the most vulnerable 10% of their people by the end of September. Around 3.5 to 4 million doses are administered each week on the continent, but this needs to rise to 21 million doses each week at the very least to meet this goal.
Moeti says more than 500 million doses are expected through COVAX alone this year. This massive influx, she says, means countries must up their game.
We need to address the issue of vaccine hesitancy. So this communication, targeting people, targeting the messages that we are tracking and the misinformation or the fears and misconceptions is absolutely vital now, because the time to mobilize people to be ready to be vaccinated is not when the vaccines are landing. It is now in this narrow period of a window that we have to do all of this.
Regional Director Moeti says countries must scale up their operations. She says countries need sufficient vaccine sites, storage facilities, adequate transport, plans for distribution, and of course, health workers to carry out this life-saving activity. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Still on COVID, laboratory tests have shown that the fake COVID-19 vaccine administered to more than 800 Ugandans were 99% water. Officials say most likely distilled water was put in vessels similar to those of the AstraZeneca vaccines being used in Uganda's vaccination campaign against COVID-19. For VOA News, Catherine Nambi reports from Kampala.
After the arrest of two people for scamming hundreds of Ugandans with fake COVID-19 vaccines early this month, the substances in the vials were tested at the Uganda Government Analytical Laboratory. Dr. Warid Namara is the director of Uganda's State House Health Monitoring Unit. He says the tests proved that the fake vaccines were not toxic. However, they offered no protection against the virus.
That the contents of the seized suspected Covishield vials were not the same as the genuine ones. The analysis also confirmed that the contents of the fake COVID vials were non-toxic. In fact, the fake vaccines were more of water than anything else from the chemical contents as it was analyzed. We want the population that received the fake vaccine to understand that you are not poisoned, you are not in danger.
Dr. Namara says the manufacturers of the vaccines used in Uganda say they had nothing to do with the fake shots.
The National Drug Authority forwarded the suspected fake sample to the manufacturer for comparison with the genuine COVID shield vaccine. The Serum Institute of India confirms in their report that indeed the batch number on the fake vaccines were never supplied to Uganda. The Serum Institute in India further confirmed that the labels on the specimens we think were fake were indeed falsified.
He says people who are thought to have received the fake vaccines most of them staff members of companies, should ensure they get the proper vaccines from official designated locations.
All persons and corporate companies who were vaccinated at a fee, especially within their premises of work by the suspects, are advised to get a free COVID jab at the Ministry of Health approved sites for COVID vaccinations. Please do not use private individuals purporting to be doctors, purporting to be nurses, purporting to be representing Ministry of Health.
The fake vaccines were administered between May 15th and June 17th. One person behind the scam is still at large. Although the Uganda government vaccination is free, the suspected fraudsters were charging between $30 and $60 to administer the vaccine to each individual. Ugandan officials suspect the fake jabs could be the reason for the high rates of COVID deaths among Ugandans who reportedly received the COVID-19 vaccinations. This comes as a number of Ugandans rush to get vaccinated in the midst of the second deadly wave of cases, which has led to increased fatalities and hospital admissions. Uganda has recorded over 90,000 COVID-19 cases, with 2,412 deaths. So far, about 1.1 million Ugandans have received COVID vaccination. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
Listener comments is an important part of this broadcast because we get to hear your views about issues in this broadcast. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thanks, John. We heard from a number of you this week about the need for more employment among South Sudanese, especially young people, including Maulana K. Dak from the University of Juba, who writes, I would like to urge our government of South Sudan to create job opportunities for young people in South Sudan in order to absent them from criminal practices such as cattle raiding, child abductions, and road attacks. Daniel Mading Deng from Malaupet Payam in Lake State says, Hello Nabil Biagio and John Tanza. I'm urging the youth across the country to seek peaceful coexistence in our young nation called South Sudan. They should seek peaceful means of getting NGO job opportunities rather than using unlawful means. Mading Malual Alwong from Malakal Town says, We, the young people, are calling on our government to appropriate at least 5% of the national budget to the Youth Enterprise Development Fund. This demand is also included in the proposed bill. My advice to the government of South Sudan is invest in young people, and this will be a serious breakthrough in engaging youth in economic activities and boosting local production. Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul in Panyagor of Twitch East County writes, The confirmation of the deadly Delta variant in South Sudan is shocking news. Let the Minister of Health and partners make sure that those coming in are properly screened at the airport to reduce the importation of the virus. David Aloro Justin from Yay South Sudan says, My condolences to the families of Kenyan citizens who were killed during a car accident with a fuel tanker. May their souls rest in peace. Jacob Dior Machweng in Ural Lake State says, Although it's very early to give thanks to the newly appointed governor of Lake State, my calls are being fulfilled day and night by you. An inch is better than zero. The state is calmer compared to when you're away. You're such a leader wherever you step in. Unknown gunmen become known. Keep up the job you have started because we, the people of Lake State, have lost the image nationally and have become the laughing stock of outsiders. Kir Dao Adum from Juba Tongpeng says, Hi VOA. What has really disappointed me here in Juba is the increasing number of street children along Juba roads. So I would like to appeal to our government of South Sudan to at least take some positive measures for these children because some of them might be future leaders. Someone who did not leave their name says, Hello, Voice of America News Desk. It is a pleasure having your WhatsApp number and I have been longing for this for quite a while. I hope we shall be in touch with your newsroom in South Sudan. I love your updates, in particular covering the events of South Sudan and the world at large. A special thanks goes out to John Tanza for always being our vocal to keep us updated on developments of our country. Peter Ajak Ayom in Block 3 of Bor Jongule State writes about the violence in Khartoum's Jebel Awliya refugee camp last week. He says, "What is wrong with South Sudanese? You are a refugee in a different country seeking for safety, and you still want to fight with yourselves. And remember, you fled your country because of conflict. I really don't understand why these two tribes of Dinka and Nuer don't love themselves." He goes on to say, "I'm urging our people to always be living in peace and harmony, and let's see ourselves as people from one nation." Mabor Alatrengo from Rumbek Lake State says, "I think South Sudanese citizens are traumatized by war. Even in foreign countries, at the camps, you still fight. You left South Sudan because of war, and yet you created other conflicts at the camp. Where will you go again for your safety? Shame on you. I am appealing to the government of Sudan to deport you back to South Sudan to come and fight in your own territory." Mangwag Majong from Rumbek Lake State says, "The call by the former advisor of Islamic Affairs on the implementation of the 2018 peace agreement is genuine, but the only way for comprehensive implementation of the agreement is for the RT Gono government to put their differences aside and work for peaceful South Sudan, where citizens have access to basic services such as good health centers, roads, schools, clean water, and a strengthened rule of law." Martin Manuel Wugol in Kampala, Uganda writes, "Hello Nabil and John Tanza. Given there is some progress going on in Juba Rumbek roads, it gives hope to the people of South Sudan. However, it is our collective responsibility as citizens to give peace a chance for real development to be realized in the country. It can be done by turning challenges into successes for 64 tribes to live in peace comfortably. Happy Eid al-Adha to all Muslim community." Diwamoy Daniel in Torit writes, "What is happening in Western Equatorial State is worrying. Something needs to be done immediately." Samuel Remo in Yei says, "Hi VOA South Sudan in Focus. The Zimbabwean government has the right to restrict its people to go for vaccination of COVID-19 vaccines because a common person is unable to cater for him or herself. The Zimbabwean government doesn't want to lose its people in the time of COVID while vaccines are available in the refrigerator. There is no government without people. Now, to whom is the government going to make the constitution with?" These comments do not reflect the views of this program or of VOA. We appreciate you sharing your views with us. Keep those comments coming.
Keep your comments coming, and we will air them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We now leave you with the song Mungato by Dennis. Listening to Dennis with the song Mungato. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Kirira, kirira, kirira yambo.